are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Welcome to the Kathy Hood Show. Are you ready to unleash your power? We've got yet another power-packed show where we encourage, empower, and equip you to prosper. It's time to discover your God-given purpose and advance your life by unleashing the power from within to impact the world. Your gifts are not in front of you. They're trapped on the inside of you, but have no fear. I'm here to help you realize your true potential and set it free. Get ready for your dose of discovery, divine intervention, and impartation. Are you ready? Let's go. All right. Today's episode is sponsored by Atlanta Life Media Agency, where connections are made. To learn more about them, please visit www.atlma.net. All right. You know, it's more important than ever right now for you to discover your gifts. In this time when the world is experiencing pandemonium, like I've never seen anything like this before, ever. But it is really a great time for people to take advantage of a great opportunity for their lives. What is that burning desire that God has placed on the inside of you? What great calling on your life you know is there, but you've spent most of your life running from it? That special something that scares you to step out on faith for. What is it? This is the time. Now's the time. I'm your gift coach, and when I teach and empower people to discover their gifts and how to live their lives on purpose, you learn to embrace who you really are and build your confidence to be courageous and to move, even if you're scared. Discovery of your gifts not only help you discover your true identity, but help you find your place in this world. However, there are plenty of things which hold you back. But one of the main ones that I talk about and help to set people free is unforgiveness. It's major. Unforgiveness is a very major issue in the world, as a matter of fact. And most people don't even know and realize that they're walking around in unforgiveness. You know, oh yeah, I've forgiven them. No, all you need is a cent or somebody that looks like somebody that you have been mad with all of your life. Well, for this episode, Uncommon Forgiveness, I want to share with you some pointers on how I was able to forgive and what others thought was an unforgivable situation. And it has changed my life forever. My friends and my family, they thought I was crazy, okay? Because this was an uncommon situation. So, uncommon wives forgive. Point blank, period. So I wanted to share with you, I don't want to just assume that everybody, you know, understands the same, because we are all made differently. And as I said to you before, that I am a gift coach, and I know that everybody sees everything through their own gifted eyes. And so, you know, we all can be looking at the same thing, you know, and see it totally different because we're gifted that way. So, uncommon. So this is Webster's definition, okay? Uncommon means rare, unusual, above the ordinary, remarkable, exceptional. Does that sound like anybody you know? Does that sound like you? Right. You know, I just love learning, and I love learning according to the word of God, and that, you know, rare is, you know, when we go back to that original intent, God created us all to be individuals. And so that I created my superhero, I guess, or more like my alter ego, that Rare Jewel. So R-A-R-E, Rare Jewel. She's my superhero. She's she has a comic book story, like an intro, and she was on iTunes for a little while. That was a while back before even superhero movies and things became popular. But anyway, God reminded me or told me just how unusual, rare, remarkable, and exceptional that I am a long time ago. And I decided I was going to believe him. But anyway, we're going to keep it moving. Wife. Now, look, everybody knows what a wife is. So we think, you know, as I said, that everybody, you know, look at things differently. And, you know, when you look at wife and just other titles, we have to realize and understand that they are functions. And so that wife, there's a role that we have to, you know, that's connected with that. So a wife is a female partner in a continuing marital relationship. Now, not that play wife, not that wife that's that living girlfriend, and then all of a sudden we want to talk about, oh, that's my husband, all because of the fact that we are living with someone and he's getting all the benefits of a wife, but you're not legal. He didn't put a ring on it. It's not legal, you know, to the government. It's not legal in God's eyes. So we want to talk about the real meaning of a wife. All right. So that's the only way that you're going to be able to be able to walk in being that uncommon wife. All right. So anyway, so we're going to keep it moving. Forgive. Stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense, flaw, or mistake. You know, we're walking around here, you know, being angry and upset for things that have happened from relationship to relationship to relationship. We have to look at we're the common denominator. And, you know, we're bringing things that we never forgave other people about or for, and we're taking it into, you know, new relationships. We have to take a look at that. And a lot of times, oh, I forgave him. You know, no, not really. Because if you smell a cologne that smells like him, anybody that kind of favors him or look like him or her, and when I say her, meaning a friend that you haven't forgiven, I'm not even just talking about, you know, your husband. I'm talking about anybody in life. You need to forgive them. Stop holding on to that anger or that bitterness or that resentfulness that you're having, you know, and on the inside of you, and you think that you've released it and have forgiven somebody. But if something reminds you of them and you get that bubbling, burning, ooh, that anger rise back up in you again, just the thought of them, you haven't forgiven them, all right? So just know that forgiveness is not for him. It's for you. Forgiveness is for you. I'm telling you, if you walk around in anger and bitterness and all that comes along with it, I call it all its cousins, all the relatives of unforgiveness, it's going to stop your flow. It's going to stop your flow. God will not be able to use you. You know, I don't care how many times you think that, you know, you're walking in some temporary successes. God can't use you. You don't want to keep living in this place of temporary. You know, and so also to stop you from flowing in your gifts, the gifts that God put inside of you. So we're going to talk about that. So now we're going to talk about what the Bible says about these same three words. All right. So I love this uncommon. The Bible says, 1 Peter 2:9, however, you are chosen. You are a chosen people. How about that? You're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people who belong to God. You were chosen to tell about the excellent qualities of God and what he has done for you, how he has brought you out of that darkness into his marvelous light. All right. I mean, you are royalty. All right. That's what the Bible says about us. So, you know, just think about that. That's what the Bible says about us being uncommon. Beautiful thing. So that does say that we're rare, that we're remarkable. Royalty, that we are unusual. And you know what? People don't find that to be a commonplace. But guess what? When you walk in your royalty, when you walk in being remarkable and exceptional, that's a commonplace in the kingdom of God. That's a commonplace. But here on earth, you find yourself struggling to be those things because you find yourself always in competition with other people. God says not so. You know, if you say that you are a believer,
and that you love God and that you are walking according to his word, it's automatic. I'm going to tell you all about that in just a second. So wife in the Bible says in Ephesians 5:33, the Bible commands this. So that's what I'm telling you. You know, there's that title, but this is what we ought to do to be that uncommon wife, because everybody's not doing this. Respecting their husbands, revering them, admiring and honoring them. You know, a good wife values her husband's opinions, admires his values and character, and is considerate of his needs, such as the need for self-confidence and the need to be needed. So I'm telling you, an uncommon wife honors her husband. She respects him. You know, she admires him. She considers his needs. And most of the time, we don't even feel like that he's worthy of it. Because I'm going to tell you, you know, for years when I was married to my husband, for those 12 years that we were together, they were the worst 12 years of my life. I tell anybody that. That was a miserable time for me. But I tell you, though, in that time, I grew. I grew up in Christ. You know, I had to let go of everything that I knew about me, what I thought I knew about me. All right. So I, in that process of going through those 12 miserable years, I found Kathy. All right. And so it's just amazing that when we get into this space and that we decide that we're going to do what the word tells us to do as a wife, success in your marriage and your relationships is automatic. It's going to happen. Point blank, period. And then you got forgive. Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Stop talking about people. Stop ranting and raving, you know, ranting and raving about stuff that don't matter. Stop being angry. Stop being so sensitive, all up in your feelings and emotional, because it's not going to help anything. So this is what the word is telling us. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So, you know, the one thing that the Bible tells us, though, you know, in order for us to get to make it into heaven, we're going to have to forgive that other person. If you can't forgive, God won't forgive you. It's simple. It's plain. But you know what? And that's what people find the hardest thing to do. So I'm going to talk to you all just a little bit about, you know, being able to do these things, what we just read and what the Bible says about being uncommon, being a wife and forgiveness, those scriptures. I know it's plenty of them, but those are the ones that stuck out to me that God gave to me is, you know, these are laws and principles that's in the Bible. And if we were to follow them, you will have great success. So in forgiveness, he says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. And I know everybody says that's easier said than done. All it really takes is a decision. All right? It takes a decision. And sometimes, you know it's hard and everything, but you can do it. So I'm going to get to that. You can do it. You can do it. Make up in your mind that you want to do it. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story so I can tell you how I got to be the queen of forgiveness. I told him, met my husband, we dated for 10 years. So we met on a blind date. And this man has been telling this story for the last over 30 years since we've been together from day one. He said that he only saw the back of my head and he knew that I was his wife. He told his friend, that's my wife right there. I'm sitting in the car with my girlfriend. I'm on a date with her so she can go out with her friend. This is before I was saved, y'all. You know, so she wanted to hang out with her boyfriend and she wanted me to go and I didn't feel like it. But anyway, wanted me to meet his friend. So I said, okay. And so I had laryngitis. And I told her, I said, girl, I don't know, you know, if he, you know, I don't know how we're going to do this thing. So she said, just give me a sign. So of course, since I didn't have my voice, so they didn't know if I was feeling bad or not. So I said, okay. So if you ask me, you know, Kathy, how you feeling? And if I say, girl, I'm not feeling too good, that means I'm ready to go. And let's end this date right now and take me home or take me back to my car or whatever. I said, if I'm feeling okay, that means, all right, he all right. You know, so we can hang out just so you can hang out with your friend. Then if I said I'm feeling good, that means, girl, he is A-okay. Let's get this party started and hang out as long as we can. All right. So when she asked me, she says, so how you feeling? I said, girl, I'm all right. All right. So we went on, the date went on and everything, but I decided that, I really didn't like him. Right. That's how it is. You end up with the ones that you really don't like. So anyway, we went out a few times only because she wanted to go out. And so I finally just said, look, I can't do this no more. You know, it was nice meeting you and all that good stuff, but I met somebody else and went on. And so, but he sent me a message through her and told her to tell me that, tell your friend if I ever that I'm never going to let her go. I'm like, yeah. Because I wasn't expecting to run back into him ever again, right? Not so. So about a year later, we ran back into each other. Well, actually, I didn't recognize him. It was so funny. Anyway, guys, we went to club. And so my girlfriend, he saw her. He's like, I know. You know, take me to your leader. I know if you're here, she's here. So anyway, we got back together. And when I tell you from that day to this one, he has never left me alone. Okay. We dated for 10 years. I was so naive about a lot of stuff. My parents kept me in, you know, kept me close to home. And so I didn't know a lot of things and a lot of things in the street. Even when I just dated, I still didn't know because I didn't date a whole lot. I didn't go out with a whole lot of people. I stayed to myself. And so I was just so naive about a lot of things. And so when we got married, so I'm talking about the 12 miserable years of marriage. I didn't understand that drug addiction. So I found out that he was, had a drug addiction. He had a cocaine addiction. And I didn't know what that meant. I'm just thinking that he could just say no and it's over. You know, no, we battled that thing for years. So he went on to be, you know, addicted for over 20 plus years. You know, so 12 of those years were me being miserable. You know, and so it caused some great, great pain in our lives. So I'm just going to fast forward everything because guess what? We are now at the place where we're beginning to tell the story because when women are telling me about their marriages, I said, girl, you really have no problems, but I understand where you are. But let me just tell you how you can get past these things, right? So I'm going to fast forward to the incident. So guys, you know, there was this one particular night that we call it that fateful night where I think I really had my blood covenant with God. My husband almost took my life. And so what happened was he, you know, the moment where he was in a rage, you know, and the enemy, the devil had really just literally taken over who I knew as my husband. And when I tell you guys, he did not look like himself at all. I knew that he was just inundated, you know, the enemy had just taken over. And so in that place is when I released my spirit unto God, said, come, here I am, come get me. And so everything just spiraled and, you know, came to a point where there was, you know, he ended up cutting me on my neck and blood just everywhere. And he's like, he snapped out of a trance. So whereas it felt like he was trying to take my life, you know, then he was at a place where he was trying to save my life. So when I saw all this blood, I began to panic and cry. And God says, stop crying. Immediately, I stopped crying. So isn't that something in the midst of your situation? You have to have been in this place where you're really getting to know God. That's what had been happening all these years of me and him being together, those 12 years. Like the lady had the issue of blood for 12 years and she touched him with the garment of Jesus' garment. She was healed. So anyway, that just hit me. So anyway, so when he got to the Holy Spirit, God started speaking to me, stop crying. Immediately, I stopped crying. And then, so he was in a panic to save my life. So he, you know, had to cover up, stop the bleeding and everything. I'm just telling the quick version of this, you know, call 911. He hung up the phone because he said, I'll do it because I said, oh, God, I know you about to throw him up under the bus, under the jail now, because I was ready to be gone from this marriage. Guys, I spent 12 years trying to leave it. All right. The whole 12 years trying to get out. But for some reason, like I would tell my daughter, she said, Mom, you deserve so much better, so much more. I said, you know, it's a spiritual thing. I couldn't understand it. I didn't know what was going on. And so, but I still, through that process, even though I didn't know God that well, I trusted him, even when I didn't really know him that well. So anyway, in this whole process, you know, when he said, I do it. So he hung up. And so 911 called back. All right. So he answered the phone while 911's talking to him. God started talking to me. It was a no long drawn out conversation. It don't take him all day and all night to say what he got to say. God just said to me, forgive him now. I'm like, what? I was like, are you serious? Guys, I promise you, this is the conversation I was having with God. I said, are you serious? I said, did you not see what has just happened to me? Did you not see, you know, how this thing just went down, God? And then I'm saying, was I the only one in the room? I mean, I'm carrying on. And God just let me have my moment because he did not say another word. Guess what? The only thing I had to do was decide that I was going to come into agreement with him. So when I'm standing there waiting for an answer, so he was like, it was like crickets. So I just said, okay. So I came into agreement because I know he had been speaking to me all night, you know, of things to do and how to get through this situation. And so from that day to this one, I was not able to be angry with him. I wasn't upset. And guys, guess what? If I had, things would have went totally different. That boy, he was looking at 20 years in prison. So when we went through the whole process through court, the judge calling me up and asking me what I wanted to do, who does that? And so, but because I came in alignment, everybody talk about wore those little bracelets, like what would Jesus do? Yeah, right. I got so sick of that because nobody, a whole lot of people wouldn't do what Jesus did, right? But, you know, so she called me up to the counter to say, or to the judges, whatever, where they, you know where they sit, and said, Ms. Hood, this looks awful. This looks really bad. And I do not want to grant him bail. But if you say you're okay with it, I'll grant him bail. I'm looking at her like, really, lady? Really? So anyway, we went on. I was like, okay. She was like, are you afraid of him? No. And so we went through that whole process. So granted him bail. And I was like, the only thing is I'm not paying for it. And he got his family. My family's there. His family's there. Our church family was there, you know, and to walk us through this process, right? So when I got home, let me tell you, God said to me, now I know that you love me. Because guess what? You know, I did everything he told me to do through this whole situation. Not what I wanted to do. I didn't get caught up in my emotions. Everybody told me that I was crazy. You know, because anyway, he ended up, even before we even got divorced, he ended up, I'm trying to think, was it before our divorce or after? But anyway, he ended up going back to jail because he violated probation, because they did grant him probation. And he violated it. And the only one that was there for him was, me, my friends, you know, putting money on his books. And he didn't, he did not even finish out his, it's awesome. He didn't even finish out that term. And because God saw fit to release him after so many things that he was doing, God got his attention real good. Because when he put him in the area where all the murderers, and he didn't like that. Because guess what? He was looking at 20 years for, they were thinking about giving him those many years for attempted murder. That's how serious it was. So I want to say that when he was released, you know, I said, you know what? God, let me divorce. So we did divorce, but that took the act of Congress. I had to bring in my spiritual mom. Please help me to get him to sign these papers. Cause you know, I'm thinking, God, I'm so happy. You know, we need to go on and cut this and let him go on about his business. You going to do what you're going to do with him. I don't want to be around when your wrath comes down on him. All right. So we divorced. My spiritual mom talked into it cause I couldn't talk him into it. Right. So anyway, so we divorced, and she had to promise him that we would get back together and that it was not about another man and all this. I was like, I wasn't in the room, but I was like, I don't care what you say, tell him whatever you need to tell him in order for him to sign those papers. So guys, so we divorced, and then I saw God really just break down, because when he came out of jail, so we had divorced before he went back to jail. So when he got out, I saw God had to restore him. But guess what? When he got out of jail, I had to help him still, because he had lost his job, his car, no place to stay. No, he had zero. All right. So, you know, anyway, helped him through that process. So I'm like, he's gone. We're divorced. So he was only, you know, I only helped him for a little while. And so I was so happy. I thought that it was over. And not so. So God saw me watch him to be restored. He was restored back to that place where God wanted him. And that was back with me. We remarried after about 6 years. Amazing, because a miracle, more like it, because I told him, I said, boy, please, I didn't tell him, but I was telling other people. I was like, child, it'll be a miracle for us to get back together. Guess what? I tell people all the time, you're looking at a miracle. And so I tell people all the time, no, I'm not crazy, just finishing the story, my story, all right? And so none of this could happen, and I would not be right here being the woman that I am for God today if none of this stuff had to happen. I want to learn how to forgive like I have. And so that's why I said it's on the inside of us that we can do it. All right. So let me tell you one of the ways that the main thing that we did, that I did in the beginning, and then he had to do in our next beginning. Right. And the solution was discover your God-given gifts. I discovered my gifts. And actually, I discovered mine before we actually divorced after the 12 years. That's the only way, guys, I could withstand the rest of the years that we were together. I discovered my God-given gifts, and then I began to understand him even more. So I realized that I'm very strong-willed, you know, I make decisions easily. I'm a leader. I'm like, let's get it done. Let's keep it moving. And so when you are having those type of gifts, they can be a little bit intimidating, especially to a man. A lot of them like to think that they love being married to a strong woman. They like dating her, but when they marry it, it's a little different. Well, it's a lot different, because not only, I said, just because I was that way when we were dating, oh, it's still that way while we're married. Hey, you know, I just handle business and take care of business. And most men are not in that space. You know, they're not in that place where they know a vision. That's why they get upset with us when we're asking them, what's the vision? What are we going to do? What's our life? What's our plan? And that was an issue that we had. He didn't have a plan. He didn't have a vision. Because guess what? Nobody taught him. And that was not his atmosphere. That was not his environment. He was hanging out in the streets with, you know, knuckleheads. And so he was patterning himself after someone else in the lives of, you know, hustlers, and they call them pimps and all of those things. But anyway, so I discovered my gifts. And so what I teach on the gifts is perceiver. We talk about the 7 motivational gifts. It's amazing. It's life-changing. It is the best thing that you could ever do in life for you, your family, for any relationship that you have. So we talk about 7 gifts, which are perceiver, exhorter, administrator, giver, compassion, server, and teacher, right? And so I have all strong speaking gifts. And then he has that gift that are more what we call serving gifts. And so like compassion, that's his number one gift. My number one gift is exhorter, but my number two is perceiver. So perceivers are ones that speak, you know, straight from the hip. Those are the ones that you guys may call rude, you know, but whatever comes up, comes out. And so when you're married to someone like that and you're a compassion person, just understand that, you know, the compassion people are very sensitive. And so when a perceiver person speaks, and they're speaking from their heart, and they know what they want and what they want to do and how they want to do it. And then a compassion person is very indecisive, you know, even though they're still a strong, beautiful gift, those gifts are clashing. And so many times, that's what's happening. So many wonderful marriages have come to an end because of this clashing. The gifts are clashing when you know that he's a beautiful person and that he takes care of business. But if you're walking around a compassion person and whatever he says, every time he opens up his mouth, he's hurting your feelings, you know, that can cause an issue. And then if because of the fact that compassion people don't like confrontation, the anger builds up. It builds up, and then all of a sudden this big explosion. And then sometimes it gets to a place where it's you feel like it's a place of no return, you know, but it is. There is a place of return. Understanding your spouse's gift. So as I began to understand his gift, I had the responsibility of making a change. Change is going to happen. It's inevitable. But as you understand your gifts, you begin to change and everything and everybody around you begins to change. So you find out that opposites do attract. So that's what it is. I have strong gifts. He had more of that, you know, that, I'm not really sure how to, I don't want to make it serving gifts. That's what we call them, serving gifts. So they're the ones who, you know, serve, they just love to help. They don't want to be in charge of anything. And that's why so many people can get in the wrong position because of the fact that they do things so well. They show up, they make sure everything happens, set up, break down, everything's in order and everything. And then somebody said, you know what? Let me make her the boss. Let me make her the supervisor, and then tears everything up because that's really not their calling. That's not their giftings. So when you can learn to put everything in perspective according to people's giftings, you got a win-win situation. So I was able to understand his gifts, but the one thing I told him before we get remarried, I said, you're going to have to learn my gifts. So he did that. And when he read those things, my giftings, he was like, oh my God, that's her. That's her. Oh, so she's not really walking around here like with an S on her chest. Because that's what he used to tell me. You think you got an S on your chest. You walk around here like you got an S on your chest. Or you think you all that and blah, blah, blah. No. You think I'm all that. Thank you very much. But no, that's not me. You know, and so when he realized that's how God made me, so I could talk about all seven of those gifts, ladies, but I would be all day, but I'll be in my element, but I don't want to, you know, prolong you all sitting here me, but hopefully we'll get a chance to get together again to talk about these gifts. So when you understand your spouse's gift, it's going to make that whole difference, because as I got in my place and start doing things according to the way God made me and things he saw God move in my life in ways that he could never imagine God operating in anybody's lives. When I tell you God did some super duper blessing right in front of him that didn't really always include him, but he still got the benefit of it. Okay. So, but when you understand your spouse's gift, we hold the responsibility of, you know, making the change and helping them to understand. We become that example. You operate, you know, in that manner to for him to see that change. All right. So when you begin to forgive, that's what happens. You will begin to be that example to show him that you are willing to make that change and that your marriage is important to you. And that you are rare, beautiful, remarkable, exceptional, and all those things, right? And then step three, these are the solutions. Find out the obstacles that block the flow of your gifts. All you have to do is ask God. Get rid of the sin in your life. And all you have to do is ask God. But you already, most of us already know those things that we do that we know that's not right. That's sinful in your life. Stop it. Just release it, drop it, move on. You know, if you, you know, need an accountability partner, tell somebody about it so they can hold you accountable. But then if it's sin that's in your life, if you know that chaos is still going on in your life then or in your marriage or whatever, or also these gifts help you with your kids, your supervisor, if you're a supervisor, your employees, your church ministry, your group leaders, all of that. All right. But I just had to throw that in there. But for the sins that you don't know, pray and ask God to show it to you. He will reveal it to you so you can get rid of it, okay? So it's time for us to take action and forgive. So my little quote up there says, you maintain what you rehearse. Ladies, like I said, I know sometimes it seems so hard to forgive because you feel like you can't forgive him for messing around. That was one of the things I said, oh, if you ever mess around on me, I'm going to leave him, I'm going to divorce him, and blah, blah, blah. So he already knew that. So he would never tell me, but I knew because I'm a perceiver, I can sense, I can see things other people can't see. So I knew stuff was going on, you know, and whenever I would say anything, of course he would deny it. But God will eventually reveal it, and it came out and everything but before, and he had to be the one to tell me. But he made me promise that I wouldn't leave him if he told me the truth. So I promised, and so I'm a woman of my word. I love to keep my word, and so I didn't leave him. The one thing I thought that would cause us to divorce didn't, you know, and so it's just awesome. So I want you to take, it's time to take action and forgive. Rehearse it every single day. rehearse it, you know, and you find out, look up, find your scripture, you know, and anytime he says something to you that irks your nerves or gets you all razzled or that anger, that fire starts coming up on the inside of you, you find your word that's going to put that fire out. You know, because there's nothing you could do to change your husband. I want you guys to know that. There's nothing that you can do. But, you know, all things are possible through Christ, right? So he's the one that's going to have to change him. Stop wasting so much time on trying to fix him, trying to make it better. My thing to you is to strive. Well, first of all, to stop taking everything so personal. That's the first thing. Because you know what God says about you. You know already deep down inside those things that you've been called to do and that you have a passion for. You just need to get to it because God put those burning desires inside of you. So that's the one thing that got me through my situation is I said, you know what, God, that's your son. You created him. Okay, tell me what I need to do. And most women, when I talk to wives or, you know, or whoever, anybody, they don't want to look at self first. I said, let's deal with you first. Before you can even think about trying to deal with somebody else, you know, and then at that point, I'm not going to tell you to go deal with him because you can't. You didn't create him. You're not his manufacturer. You don't own the manual to how he works. So you have to go to the manufacturer, which is God. So he's going to be the one that gives you instructions on things to do. I promise you, every single step of the way, that's what God did for me. Those 12 miserable years, God directed me every single step of the way. And I tell people, I've been to the school of God. All right? So stop taking everything so personal. You know, I used to feel like, God, why don't he love me? God said, can't nobody love you better than me. I didn't have that issue with him ever again. Okay? That never came out of my mouth because of the fact that, you know, God, when God speaks that to us, it just means so much. It means so much. Approach number two, strive to please God no matter how much it hurts. And yeah, it's easier to keep his laws and successful marriage is automatic. Okay, it gets easier. That's what I'm saying. So strive to please God no matter how much it hurts. It gets easier. Every single time when you keep rehearsing and you're doing it, you know, it becomes easier and easier. I'm going to tell you, during that process for me, because, you know, a perceiver, whatever comes up, comes out, and I was ready to get him told. That's my second gift. Exhorter is my first. I love people, you know, and so that's a whole nother story. Perceiver is my second. And so I see things that other people can't see. My perception is like off the chain. And so I just spent that time trying to make sure that I was in the right place with God. When I said that, I just share with you those things. When you keep his laws and your marriage will be successful automatically. So that's why I'm saying easier, it's easier, it gets easier. Oh, this is what I was going to say. So as a perceiver, you know, I'm used to just blurting out, you know, giving my opinion and all of that to him. And so that's where he would just shut down most of the time. But God told me to shut your mouth. Because guess what? As a perceiver, it's not always for us to say anything. Most of the time, it's for us to go and pray. Just because we see these things, and I'll tell you, most of the things that I said and I shared with him, he was like, how you know? You call my friends. You did this, you did that. No, God showed me. God told me, you know. But because my perception is off the chain. But anyway, when I had to learn to shut my mouth, I'm telling you, when I would sit there, tears would just start running down my face because of the fact that just trying to hold that in and not say anything, trying to follow the law of God and be obedient to what he said. But it got easier. So now I learned how to keep my mouth shut and keep it moving, you know, or when he released me to say something, when that time comes, I say it and I keep it moving because everything used to be an argument with us, every single thing, you know, and so that's how our marriage just escalated into something so terrible that the incident happened. Okay, and approach number three, trust God for real. For real, for real. I'm not talking, no more lip service. Stop talking that talk. Let's walk the walk. You know, so there's no reason for you to keep saying the same old thing and expecting a different result. You know, everybody, they love these cliches and, you know, but, and they will put on the fake you know, the fake praise. They talk about fake news. They put on a fake praise and a fake worship and all of that, even in their just their daily walk. But they're really not trusting God because they get behind those closed doors and, you know, and do everything the opposite of what the word says. But I'm telling you, if you keep the laws and the principles of God, success is going to happen in every area of your life. You find out what they are. If the Bible tells you no lying, no lying. No stealing, no stealing. No adultery, no adultery. No fornication, no fornication. You see? So love your neighbor, love your neighbor. That don't mean you got to be at their house, you know, all the time or whatever, you know, but follow the laws of God and success is bound to happen. So in forgiveness, he says, get rid of all anger and bitterness. You need to figure that thing out. You know, you need to get with your prayer partner or your spiritual mom. I have a spiritual mom that is phenomenal. And she helped me through this whole process. And she's seen how I've grown so much in Christ to be doing all the things that we're doing. So guys, you can hear about the incident on my podcast. So the Kathy Hood Show, you can find that on Up To Me Radio on any place where you find podcasts. So Up To Me Radio and the Kathy Hood Show. But we're telling our story, but in segments so that, you know, people won't be able to take all that at one time. But just about how to forgive so we can save the rest of these marriages or as many marriages as we can, and our relationships and just different things. It's just not about marriage, but it's just about forgiving anything or anybody that has ever hurt you, because guess what? It's not for them. It's for you. So we're ready for you to take action, forgive, and become that woman that God has created you to be.
Guys, I just want to say so much. I'm so excited that you were able to join me tonight for this particular show. But before we end the show, I want you to remember that number one, don't forget this. Forgiveness is not for that other person, but it's for you. Number two, you cannot change what you're not willing to confront. So let's get some help, okay? That can be counseling or, you know, your spiritual mentor or a mentor or, you know, just whatever the situation, whatever help that you can get. And number three, the time is now. Don't let this perfect opportunity pass you by. It looks crazy right now to the world, but this is a perfect opportunity to become all that God has created you to be. Begin your flow and birth what you've always wanted to do. So guys, that you can come out on the other side of, you know, of this foolery, that you can come out on the other side great, promoted, elevated. You don't want to still be in the same place or even worse. That is not what we're doing. That is not what we want to do. So I am truly excited that you joined me this evening, and I look forward to hearing all of the wonderful testimonies from those of you who are ready and or have taken the steps necessary to walk in forgiveness. No matter who you are or how old you are, take the necessary steps, like I said, whether it be counseling, spiritual counseling, you know, or whatever it may be, to get past unforgiveness. Your future self will thank you. Like I said, it doesn't matter the age, but your future self coming out of unforgiveness will thank you. Your life is going to be changed forever. Each show, you know, we do our best to have such a great time. And going forward, it's just going to get better and better. And we're going to share some real and raw information, some great how-tos. We're going to be very honest and transparent and empowering you to become the best version of yourself. So I want you to get rid of all the other noise and listen for the voice of God. You know, for your next move, the instructions you will need in order to begin living the life He has created for you. All right. I really enjoyed you all tonight. Please remember to subscribe to the show to receive free giveaways, promotion announcements, and more at uptomeradio.com. So that's up, 2meradio.com. All podcasts can be heard at Up To Me Radio, Apple Podcasts, and other free podcast apps. Like us on Facebook at Up To Me Radio, on Instagram and Twitter at Up To Me Radio. So guys, continue to join me on this journey on how you can unleash the power within you. You're definitely worth it. Until next time, keep shining.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.